Hello, this is the weekly astrology forecast, and this is astrologer Shelley Antine. And the week I'm speaking about is beginning on Monday, the 11th of November, which is Veterans Day in the United States and Remembrance Day in Canada. Yes, well, then Sunday the 17th is the week ending day. There is a lot happening this week. I mean, actually, things start to accelerate and changing. And I've been telling you, kind of over and over again, as I do, about all the slow-moving outer planet changes. And, one of the things that we are going to have this week, though, on Friday the 15th, is the full moon in 24 degrees of Taurus, the same day that Saturn goes direct in Pisces. Going to do the full moon first, simply because it's something you may go back to as we get towards Friday, which is the 15th. So I looked at this chart, and it is so interesting. They always are. Don't say it again, Shelley. Why would you say that? The Moon-Uranus conjunction. Yes, and Uranus is still retrograde until January of next year. But they are within 1 degree of each other approaching, and this is going to oppose the Sun at 24 Scorpio, of course. This is one of the potent polarities. Because it's sort of like the idea of persisting and preserving life and other things, finances, home, the earth itself, and the Scorpio desire to transform and transmute things from one state into another. Control is really a fixed sign thing anyway, because they are literally fixed, and they have their areas. The other ones are Aquarius and Leo, where it seems like they should be in charge. So personal finances, self-worth, what I think I need to survive, and my values and possessions are the Taurus area. And then the shared resources in finance, and other things like who I share my home with, or etc., and the money that we get from people in the outer world, because Scorpio is where we are headed into the outer world as we move around the zodiac. And so this is the money that we gain from others, and that can be some insurance money, loans, money that we might have to give others, like income tax, unless you're getting a wonderful refund. But that's still not really getting that money from anyone. But it's that difference. And it wants to be in control of the shared resources. That's the thing. And it is a very managerial sign. And when it's at that second stage, we've talked about three stages of Scorpio a lot, I think. That's when the managerial comes out. So we've got a tug of war here, which will not be resolved because, again, they are fixed signs. So they struggle with each other. But what's interesting to me is that the Uranus energy is there. And Uranus is sudden changes and upheavals, and we certainly have been seeing plenty of those on the Earth, literally, Taurus, and also in the realm of finances. Things are going to get kind of strange. We've been told this for a long time, but I guess we're sort of walking into it now. So this full moon is going to give us some really clear indication of what's going to happen in the world, but also in our own lives, in terms of this polarity of energy. So, the other aspects to this, oh, and by the way, let me just say again that Uranus and Taurus has been trying to teach us about frequency and how energy is in everything around us and our frequency affects everything around us. And so does the frequency of the things around us affect us. And this is something that isn't said enough, I think. So I think as we're moving forward, this is going to become more clear to us, the frequencies we want to have around us, as well as how we can uplift or affect. You know, the minute we have the thought, it affects everything. The cells in our body respond. So the frequency, very important, but also the intuition is in the planet Uranus and the sign of Aquarius. It's the electrical from the unseen realm zap. So this is something that instinctively with the moon we are working with, and the sun, our conscious self-expression planet, creative self-expression, is attempting to prevail in that mysterious sign of Scorpio. So other planets, as I promised, are actually doing some kind of a very interesting dance here because, well, Neptune and Pluto have been and will continue to be in a sextile to each other as they progress through certainly my birth generation. It was Pluto in Leo and Neptune in Libra. So now we're up to Pluto at the end of Capricorn and Neptune in Pisces, but they will also sextile when Pluto's in Aquarius and Neptune goes into Aries. Yes. So these are sextile, and they are both trining one polarity of the Neptune in Pisces water is trining the sun polarity in water. And the Pluto right at the end, I mean, it's like 29:55, and there are 60 minutes. So there's only 5 minutes to go for Pluto. Yes, that's right. It's going to shift, but I think it's next week we're going to see that happen. Not this one. But it's right at the end, and that is in the trine aspect to the earthy moon and Uranus conjunction. So there is a flow that is helpful in the midst of all of this somehow, which is, I guess, a really good thing. Where we have some difficulty is with the Saturn. Neptune and Saturn in this chart is stationary. So I said it's going to go direct on Friday, the day that this moon comes in. It actually goes direct before the full moon. But it's stationary in the sense that it's not going to pick up speed right away, right? We know that. So it is moving towards Nessus and squaring from Pisces Mercury in Sagittarius. Now, this is an interesting thing because Mercury in Sagittarius is trying to receive, get information that is true, and communicate. It's a crusader Mercury. And this Saturn and Nessus have been dancing together in Pisces for quite a long time. And, you know, we do say the idea of a big ending somewhere with Nessus, an ending on ancestral experience. You know, where you have Nessus is a place where you may do something completely different. If you're at a certain level of consciousness, and if you want to look at the levels of consciousness, go to my Substack post. That is not the most recent one, but is recent, and it will tell you there are 9 levels of consciousness, and it describes them. So if you're in a higher level of consciousness, you're going to be working with this more consciously than if you're not, where you may not make a change, and you may just continue in that realm of what the ancestors have done. But Nessus likes to rock that boat and make things change. So, and Nessus is definitely square Mercury in Sagittarius. It just seems to me like something may be just found out, discovered. Mercury's also going opposition Jupiter in Gemini. So that's a mutable sign, T-square. And that means that there is some tension. And again, the opposition between, and Jupiter is still retrograde in Gemini. This expanded consciousness, or this overload of information, trying to wade through it. Mercury is, you know, very fired up. And then there's this strange Piscean thing happening here, which is a karmic experience with Saturn in terms of endings. All right, so, I mean, these are some of the things that we can see. Mars is in Leo, and the Leo Mars at this particular moment has passed the opposition to Pluto, but the memory lingers on because it's not that far away. So there's still this bit of volatility that involves a passion for loyalty and a passion for being the king. For instance, Pluto is also passionate in its own way about being the power. So there is that bit of tension still. And Venus, which we'll talk about in the weekly forecast for each day, will be in this Capricorn sign. She's leaving Sag this week, and she's conjunct a centaur also. The centaurs are very online right now. A lot of asteroids are too, and you know, these other planets have an effect. They do. They're not planets. So the positions, I should say. Venus and Pholus in Capricorn. Now, Pholus is the lid comes off, right? So something is revealed, again, is what's being said here. And the sacred wine is spilled. Okay, and the sacred wine is another indication of the ancestral lineage, right? And so Pluto is leaving Capricorn, but Pholus is still in Capricorn with Venus approaching the conjunction, very close. And one of the things he was a diviner of entrails. You know, they used to open an animal, whatever animal, and take a look for some reason at the pattern of the inner digestive and elimination areas for the animal and make up some idea, get some clues about things. So how it translates to me and what I've heard said and I've seen it in my own life is listen to your gut wisdom. Listen to your gut wisdom. So that's a big message for us. And this little couple here, Venus with Pholus, is squaring the nodal axis. And that is the north node in Aries and the south node in Libra. So we'll see what's going to happen here. Something we might not be able to strictly foresee, but will be occurring. When that Taurus full moon is happening, you will know, because the full moon puts the big light out, right? I don't know if you remember the last one, it was so bright. I thought somebody had gotten a yard light, one of those obnoxiously bright lights, because I couldn't believe that how bright my bedroom was. And no, it was that full moon. And even in the morning, as it was setting, it called me to look out the window. It was bright as bright could be, like a flashlight bright. So this is another super moon, so we may be getting a really bright spotlight taking place on all of this. It sounds to me like it's going to be quite interesting, like a movie. Yes, anyway, there's probably more to say, but I think this is probably enough. And where does this moon fall in your house, in your birth chart? Well, that's where that bright spotlight and that changing Uranus energy is going to be taking place, and the opposite house will be where the sun in Scorpio is. If you don't know, you can always get in touch with me and get a reading. Now I'm going to leave this for now. I'm going to go back and I'm going to start looking at things that are a little bit more close to home. And this is meaning the inner planets. Uranus isn't involved in this particular moment here of a Monday, the 11th. We have a Pisces moon that squares Jupiter in the morning, 8:07 a.m. So this is always like a difficult thing. For the moon in Pisces is the dreamiest and the most drifting. It wants to be in spiritual realms. The psychic energies are coming in, visionary for the moon in Pisces, or maybe they just want to keep sleeping. It's Monday morning. It's a holiday for a lot of people. Don't bother me. And yet, there's Jupiter expanding in Gemini. A lot of conversation, a lot of communication, a lot of information. And it's, you know, just, it's not a good time for you if you're the information communicator, because that moon might be standing there looking right in your face, but they're not there. They're gone. It's like the fish swim behind the coral reef. Off they go. Frustrating for the communicator. Moon, very quickly, within 10 minutes, this is the shortest harmony of the lights I've seen in a long time. It's too bad, because that's one of our most enjoyable aspects, because the moon is now trine, sun in Scorpio at 8:17 a.m. exact. And this is when our instinctive feelings, like I was telling you about that moon in Pisces, are in harmony with our outer expression, which in Scorpio is going to be not as open. Certainly not Jupiter and Gemini, that's for sure. And, you know, we feel that we want to enjoy the psychic energy of this combination because it's really big. So if you get up and you happen to be there, it's like about 10 after 8, and just sit down, and maybe you're not meditating, but maybe you are, but suddenly in comes, whoa, and you kind of know something, right? And the moon goes on here to do a sextil to Uranus and Taurus until 5:56 p.m. So now you're really remembering this message, and the intuitive level is working with you also. The intuitive, again, the objective, electric, air, and then the feelings and sensing, psychic energy of Pisces, right? Working together. And I'm just going to take you through the moon before I start the next piece. The moon is joining Neptune at 9:01 p.m., so this gets, it goes even deeper, but now it could get things that aren't quite right, aren't quite real. And there may be a tendency for toxic or infectious experiences. So this is like 6 to a little after 9. So, you know, be aware of that. And then Moon in Pisces will end its transit, sextile Pluto in Capricorn. So it grounds, finally it grounds. And that will take us through to Tuesday morning, and this is all Eastern Standard Time. 1:13 a.m. is when that completes, and then we're going to have a very brief period before the moon enters Aries on Tuesday morning. But meanwhile, on Monday, on Veterans Day, Venus enters Capricorn at 1:26 p.m. Now, that's, again, the day of remembrance in Canada, the day that we honor and say thank you to the people who have served us in protection and in helping us maintain our territory. Venus is going to become very traditionally focused once it's in Capricorn. So it's an energy for the afternoon coming in that we'll see more of that traditional attitude of thanks and understanding the importance of a structure, value of a structure that we have in place already, and even the rules and regulations, perhaps, because that is also Capricorn, the structures that we depend upon, the government and the corporations and the traditions. And we're going into that time. We're very close to Thanksgiving Day. And so Venus in Capricorn is wanting to make those plans and wanting us to have more of a traditional experience this year. I mean, we're only ever going to see it very close to the sun in Scorpio. Capricorn is about as far out of the sun in Scorpio. And then also, when it comes into Sagittarius, the sun, which is something else I will be talking to you about very soon after the full moon, you know, this is when you would have also, you know, expand it all the way maybe to Aquarius. And I'm only speaking about this because of the holiday and how the Venus energy will affect the type of celebration and the relationships with others. There's also with Venus in Capricorn a focus and a value put upon elders. Wow. You know, that's not a real common thing here for us in the United States. There are many other cultures that are very aware of honoring the elder that's seen a lot more than you have and maybe knows a little more than you too. But this is Venus may bring some of that energy into our realms and also into that first of the big celebrations of this time of year, which again is Thanksgiving Day. Maybe we'll even give thanks as a tradition. It used to be a tradition of that day. But Venus in Capricorn is also a love nature that is more serious and cautious at the same time. Venus in Capricorn will want other people to respect the choice they make of someone to be in relationship with. And so they're looking for that when they're looking for partners. And that can be true for other kinds of partners other than romantic partners or marriage partners. It can be business partners, things like that. So Venus has that. She can be very passionate because she is in an earth sign. But it can be, you know, something that takes some time to get going. And, you know, because she wants, like the mountain goat wants to know that its feet are firmly on the ground, you know, and that it's headed in a good direction. So this is the kind of thing. And Venus will spend on high end. You know, there was an expression when I was young from relative of mine was a great aunt with Irish descent and also Welsh. I didn't know that until 2012 or something. And she used to say, cheap is dear. And what she meant by that was that if you buy something because it doesn't cost much, it won't last long. So you'll have to replace it. And that was, those people had gone through depressions and things like that. So, you know, scarcity, they knew about that. So they were willing to put the money on the thing that would last longer and be useful longer. And that's a very Venus and Capricorn type of an energy. So spending on things that would get you ahead in business and career, and spending on, you know, the kinds of, again, designer clothing, even, you know, you might see, have a little uptick there. Capricorn will skin and bone, and so you may see a lot of people getting cosmetic treatments, especially for the face and the skin, and, you know, having adjustments of the spine. This is an area for spending. Wherever Venus is in your chart, whatever house this transit falls in, is going to be the one where you will find benefits and maybe love. And so it's good to know. And if you happen to have it on the midheaven, which is right above you, or the ascendant, which is how people see you right away, you'll look really good during that transit of Venus in Capricorn. So other things to say about it is that it will sextile this time in this sign, Saturn, on the 22nd of November. So that is enhancing the attitude of a tradition and assistance in providing structures for people in need, for instance, and Saturn will be direct at that time too. Venus will trine Uranus in Taurus, and Taurus is one of the signs she rules, so it's a powerful trine. This is a retrograde Uranus, though, and that happens on the 2nd of December, but we may be looking at money and how we deal with our possessions and money. And Venus, there may be, if you were in the bank, it may be a woman who's helping you, or if you're doing financial anything's helpful, female who knows her stuff can be contacted then. A little bit more gentle, a little bit more creative and romantic when Venus sextiles Neptune in Pisces, and that's on the 4th of December. And then she will leave this sign, enter Aquarius at 1:13 a.m. on Eastern Time on December 7th. And it won't be long. It will only be 9:08 a.m. before she's in exact conjunction to Pluto in Aquarius. And now that's going to be interesting to see. So, and that's that same day, that's another big day, 12/7/2024, because Neptune goes direct that day too. All right. Let's move through the day and the week. We've gone to the moon in Aries at 10:26 p.m. on Monday. And that's going to move into the square right away. She gets a square Venus from the moon in Aries, 11:29 p.m. So that's where the tradition and the, well, I want something new and I want to do it faster is coming up for Venus. moon is going to be, that's 2:29 a.m. on the next day for the Eastern time zone. It's 11:29 p.m. in Pacific. So this is where we have to adjust. But from here, we will be having the moon in Aries trine Mars in Leo till 5:37 a.m. That's a lot of energy going towards what we want, what I want. I know what I want, and I want it now. Mercury in Sag is squaring Saturn until 8:22 a.m. So, you know, again, communications are not easy with Saturn, which is stationary, in Pisces. It's fearful. Doesn't want to hear anything new. Doesn't want to open up a mind to see something different. Leave me alone. But the moon in Aries will trine Mercury in Sagittarius for that whole day and until 11:19 p.m. in the Eastern time zone. So that's when you want to start exploring. This is the adventurous time. This is, you know, go out and see something new or think something new or meet some new people. And maybe plan your trip. If you if you have to go somewhere for the holidays, you know, make sure you've got it. This is a great time to make sure you've got it handled well. Moon in Aries goes on to sextile Jupiter, retrograde in Gemini, until 8:51 a.m. Eastern on Wednesday the 13th. So there's a lot of happy. We're happy. Yay. I can't wait. That's a nice flow of energy. However, once we get into Wednesday the 13th, Moon in Aries will be taking a long time to reach its square to Pluto in Capricorn, 1:50 a.m. And this is a last Moon in Aries square to Pluto in Capricorn, because the next time it comes around, Pluto will be in Aquarius, and it will never go into Capricorn again in any of our lifetimes, over 200 years before it does that. Okay, so this is that thing that I always tell you when I see this coming up, is don't confront authorities. Don't break rules. You know, Moon in Aries, stop at the red light. It's very hard if you're impatient and you need to get somewhere. But you could have repercussions, serious ones, while you're in square to a very powerful authority. 1:50 a.m. is the completion. Moon enters Taurus 1:59 a.m. And we have Moon in Taurus square Mars in Leo before sunrise, I suppose it is by now. I don't know. 6:57 a.m. on the Eastern time zone. This is, this is another fixed issue that doesn't get resolved. Who's in charge of the finance? What about investing? And Mars wants to be the lead. And, you know, the stubborn Moon in Taurus is like, sit down and be quiet. Don't push me. You'll see what happens if you push me too hard. It's like the bull in the bull ring. But we get a nice little flow of energy now with Moon in Taurus trine Venus in Capricorn until 7:13 a.m., and it moves to a sextile to Saturn in Pisces until 10:18 p.m. So we're kind of leveling out, having some smooth energies on Thursday once we get past the square to Mars. Coming into Friday, 15th at 9:20 a.m. is when Saturn goes direct in Pisces. And, you know, it moves slowly. It goes direct at 12, and at the end of the year, it will only be up to 14. Okay. So we're going to have, a lot of things to talk about. I would say more things to talk about with Saturn direct in Pisces when we get into 2025. And there's this famous Saturn-Neptune conjunction that we're like speculating about. But that is not likely to happen until both of these planets are in Aries. It's tricky. They get very, very close. So the feeling will be there. It's like the exact energy doesn't really quite complete in Pisces. So if you are a Capricorn, or sometimes an Aquarian will feel, the direct motion of the ruling planet, and people don't like to use that anymore, and I don't like this new one that says guardian planet of a sign, because they're not connected that way. You know, really not. I would say resonating planet, because the reason that they chose it as a ruler is because it has similar qualities that work with this particular thing. So, yeah. So anyway, the energy of the full moon is going to come in at 4:28 p.m. And again, you've had that at the beginning, so you can go back to it and listen to it anytime. Moon joins retrograde Uranus and Taurus. That's one of the features, as we mentioned, in the full moon. The exact joining is at 6:32 p.m. It's time for the evening news in the Eastern Standard Time, and they'll have something to say on Friday the 15th. Yes, could be Earth stuff. You know, we had the horrible Helene devastation here, and today and yesterday they were having these incredibly high snowfalls in Colorado and New Mexico. I mean, the pictures of the houses with the snow coming up to just below the roof just flash me back to the houses that had water up to that level. I think it's much easier for a house to deal with the snow, I think, than that water. But this is another, you know, right away we had another not that long ago, September 27th, I'll never forget. That was the day that the Helene devastation took place. So October, we're not even 2 months away. Right. Same thing, only with water in its snow form. After the conjunction to Uranus and Taurus, a very gentle, soft energy. It's romantic. It likes music and candlelight. And it just wants to relax. Moon and Taurus, sextile, retrograde Neptune and Pisces until 9:43 p.m. on Friday. But just remember, put something over the blinds if you are, close the drapes, because that's going to be a very bright moon at night. Moon in Taurus trines Pluto in Capricorn. All these are going to be last times until 2:03 a.m. Eastern on Saturday the 16th. And this is, you know, kind of late for East Coast people to be dealing with this on a way that is putting things in order and, you know, getting ideas together about what we need to do with our money, with our home, with, you know, anything that is about our possessions and our values. But 2:03 a.m., maybe you're dreaming it. Moon enters Gemini, 2:09 a.m. We've had very brief void of course periods this week. Have you noticed? I have. So the Gemini moon only 6 minutes after the Taurus moon has its last aspect. Right? Doesn't give you any peace. and the Gemini moon is going to sextile Mars in Leo at 8 a.m. on Saturday. So we get up and we're ready to go. And yet, we have the sun's exact opposition to Uranus and Taurus at 9:45 p.m. If you're going to get up and go and be home before this, well before this aspect, because that can be pretty jarring in some way, or surprising, or changing things. And the moon is going into a square to Saturn, direct in Pisces, at 10:52 p.m. is exact. So this is where you know, you're not in a happy mood, or someone around you is bringing you down, as we used to say in the 60s. Don't bring me down. And also very difficult to either get the information you want or need, or communicate something to someone who wants to understand it at all. Very frustrating. Again, frustrating for Gemini Moon as it opposes Mercury in Sagittarius also, until 7:41 a.m. on Sunday the 17th. I want more information, and you're just giving me concepts, says the Moon in Gemini to Mercury in Sagittarius. And there may be difficulty reaching people if you're trying to reach people that are far away. Or travel. It's not a great takeoff time for long-distance travel. But the Moon will join Jupiter for a short while, just a little over an hour, 9:07 a.m. it's exact. You are optimistic about Sunday. Yes, something is playful and humorous. And you are also still looking to communicate and to get information. But the Moon is going square Neptune. Don't put your money on what you found, because it isn't very clear. And 11:09 p.m. is when that's an exact. So if you're out and about in local travel even, which is Gemini, you could have difficulty with weather, fog, things like that. So plan your time accordingly. Be home well before, at least a few hours before the Moon squares Neptune. And then there's also the airborne idea of something that could be infectious or difficult. And that is the week. This is probably a long one, isn't it? As I could have done a separate podcast, but it really wanted you to have that Moon and then feel the rest of the flow. Next week, beginning the 18th of November, there's a lot as well, because the Sun is going to enter Sagittarius, and that's going to be a shift for us. And at, when is it happening? Tuesday, actually, before the Sun shifts, Pluto enters Aquarius, so that's like a big, big, big shift. And I have mentioned in the post I did on prediction, Substack, how many different ways this can be read, and how we may have been overly optimistic in one of our ideas that it would happen eventually, yes, but that it will happen right at the outset, maybe not. And that is, you know, the transformation into that new age energy of equality and, you know, unity, yes. It might be a different one. So if you're not subscribed to Substack, I highly recommend that you do that. You can get it free. You don't have to pay for it. Subscription, and read what I just told you. You can read it. There is going to be a new feature that will only be for paid subscribers after a week or two. And that will be giving some of the same kind of information that I'm giving you now. Eventually, I will transition all of this over to the paid Substack. You know, I put a lot of work in. You probably noticed. You get a lot of information from me. And, you know, $5 a month. A cup of coffee. So, I just think about it. It's actually $6 if you put cream in it. Okay, wishing you all the best as I always do. And I'll say goodbye for now.